And now, back to brainstorming with Billy.
It turns the brains into guacamole.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Bill Frank. You're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain, and you can hear us every day, Monday through Friday, on KKZZ Positive Talk Radio for Ventura County. Every show has a theme, as you know, and today's theme is how culture changes over time. As I said, the theme today is how culture changes over time. My next guest looks back at a bygone culture through the lyrics and the music of one of the era's most prolific composers and lyricists, Johnny Mercer. Mercer is said to have had more number one songs than any other lyricist in history. Mercer doesn't display the cosmopolitan wit, the irony, the dazzling wordplay of a Cole Porter, nor does he have the finely honed literary skills and heartbreaking personal vulnerability of Larry Hart. However, what is so attractive about him is that first and foremost, Johnny Mercer was an American. He was a Southern American writer. He knows Southern Gothic, Southern vernacular, the Black dialect, everything about the storytelling tradition. Mercer absorbed the indigenous culture around Savannah, Georgia. And if any of you are literary fans or movie fans, you'll know that he was given tribute in the book and the movie Midnight in the Garden of Good and Evil, which of course was set in Savannah. His most famous and songs include Moon River, Days of Wine and Roses, Goody Goody, Hooray for Hollywood, You Must Have Been a Beautiful Baby, Jeepers Creepers, Fools Rush In, That Old Black Magic, Accentuate the Positive, Satin Doll, and The Summer Wind, just to name a few of his 1,200 songs that they have cataloged in a new book. If you're interested, you can always call in at 639-0008, 639-0008. My next guest, Barry Day, was born in England, and he's an MA from Balliol College and Oxford. He has written or edited some 20 books, as well as plays and musical reviews, showcasing the work of Dorothy Parker, P.G. Woodhouse, Oscar Wilde, and Sherlock Holmes. He's written 8 books on Noel Coward and is a trustee of the Noel Coward Foundation. He was awarded the Order of the British Empire, the OBE, for, and I quote, service to British culture in the United States. So welcome to the show, Barry. How are you today?
Yeah, I'm fine, thank you, and I think you said it all.
Well, I tried to encapsulate it as quickly as I could.
You did.
Just a shout-out on behalf of all of your American cousins. Thank you so much for keeping us up with British culture and your OBE, so congratulations on that.
Thank you very much.
All right. So, first of all, you're British. How did you become interested in writing about Johnny Mercer and collecting the lyrics of all of his songs?
Well, I think, you see, if you're my generation brought up during the war, you listen to radio a great deal. Mercer was very present in England in those years. As he was, obviously, over here and for years later. And you are suddenly aware, one after another, of the songs that you like are written by this man. I mean, his output was incredible, say, 1,200 songs. Even more incredible when you come to study him, as I did for the book, he collaborated with over 230 different people.
Wow.
And in fact, somebody said, one of his contemporaries said of him, Johnny would collaborate with the first person who came through the door in the morning. And when you get a list like Harold Arlen, Henry Mancini, Hoagy Carmichael, Harry Warren, Richard Whiting, Fred Astaire, Alan Bergman, Vernon Duke, Duke Ellington, Woody Herman, Yip Harburg, Hugh Martin, Rod McEwen, Andre Previn, George Shearing, Jimmy Van Heusen, and of course, Sadie Bimmerstedt.
Oh, it's good old Sadie.
Well, this is what he was such an enthusiast about. Sadie Bimmerstedt wrote to him, and in her letter, there was a line that made him think, there's a song in this. And the line was, I want to be around to pick up the pieces when somebody breaks your heart. So he wrote the lyric, gave her co-credit on the thing. He wrote the music. The thing became a great hit, and she became a celebrity. She was on radio shows. She was touring around. And at one point, she writes to him and says, oh, Mr. Mercer, it's getting so tiring at my age. I'm going to have to give up show business. One song.
Well, there,
kind of money was.
That's a very generous man, and you've really done a marvelous job, a beautiful book, I may say, right off the bat, of collecting all of the songs, the lyrics from all 1,200 songs. What in the world made you want to take on a project of that magnitude?
Well, my old friend Robert Kimball had been doing that for years with Irving Berlin, with Cole Porter, with Ira Gershwin, Larry Hart, and so on. And some 10 years ago, I said to myself, well, hang on, he's doing all this, but, you know, being a Brit, there are one or two Brits who might be in this league, like Noel Coward,
right,
like P.G. Woodhouse. So I went around and did those two, and then Robert and I became friends, and we said, hey, we're going to do something together. And then we said, there's one breath, Johnny Mercer. And then when you look into it, there's everything you knew there was going to be and a lot more besides. I mean, when you put the book out, I mean, you do shows based on it, people say to you, I knew that, but I didn't know he'd written that one, because he was omnipresent with all these people that he wrote with. You listed some of the songs. I mean, you could go on for 10, 15 minutes and list the songs that Mercer wrote.
True.
And his range was incredible. I mean, the man was very literate, like Cole Porter was, and like Larry Hart was. He could write funny songs. He could write sentimental songs. There was no limit, and he had the vocabulary.
Absolutely, he did, and that's, there's no question. Well, let's get into Mercer just a little bit more. We're talking to Barry Day, everybody, author of the book, The Complete Lyrics of Johnny Mercer. And, you know, Mercer has been described as a manic depressive, an alcoholic, a disappointed perfectionist. How would you describe him after doing all of the research that you did for the book?
Well, I think he was a romantic, and he had the dark side to him, yes. He was a very bad drinker. He would get very aggressive when he'd done that, and then if it was a lady concerned, he would send her flowers in the morning. And one of his oldest friends said to him one evening, Johnny, I don't want your goddamn flowers, okay? and, of course, he went through various emotional things. I mean, he had a long-time love affair with Judy Garland, for instance. So things like That Old Black Magic, songs of that kind, are very much aimed at her, for her. Obviously, he never divorced and never did anything in terms of marrying Judy Garland, which many people did, but he was a romantic, and that's really what it was about. Not only was he a romantic, but as you said earlier, he was a very American writer, probably the most American. So many people who wrote about Dixie never went south of Lindy's in New York City, but he always, somebody said, he had the South in his mouth.
Absolutely.
And the whole feeling of Middle America, Southern America, came through again and again. I mean, Yip Harburg said of him, he's got the descriptive flavor of a Mark Twain and the melodies of a Stephen Foster. And I think that pretty well sums it up.
That sums it up perfectly. We're talking to Barry Day, everybody. Barry, you mentioned something in that discussion about Johnny Mercer himself, the connection with Judy Garland. Can you elaborate on that story? Because there's a popular myth, maybe it's an urban legend, that he was getting ready to leave his wife for Judy Garland. His wife fell sick.
He may have been. I think we'll never really know that for sure because, I mean, he's gone and so has Ginger Mercer gone. He was very, very attracted to Judy Garland, very involved with her, and then she went off and married somebody else. But in a way, it's the unfulfilled love affair that perhaps has more of an effect because it lingers and you want to keep writing about it. I took a trip on a train and I thought about you. A lot of that unfulfilled romanticism is in many of Mercer's songs, you know?
Yes.
The moon rivers of this world is... It would be wonderful over there, wouldn't it, if we could ever get there. The yearning for it is really the essence of romantic songs and romantic fiction, isn't it?
It is, it is. Yeah. Well, Barry, if you had to summarize it, what do you think is the enduring appeal of Johnny Mercer for on the general public?
Well, I think it's mainly because he can talk to you in his songs. So many of the song lyrics are really a couple of sentences when you think about it. I remember you, you're the one who said I love you true, you know. These things are really just ordinary declarations of feeling, but so cunningly crafted that they stick in your mind because the music comes back as well when you see the words. He kept it very simple much of the time. He was quite capable of doing the complex, accentuate the positive and the action to be concerned to Faye. There are many more complex things, but at the heart of him, he was a romantic from the South, and he had the roots were that never moved from him. Oscar Hammerstein said of him, for instance, he said, I could no more write a lyric of his than Fly. It's so American. Yeah, he was an American songwriter.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We're talking about Johnny Mercer. My special guest is Barry Day. He has put together the book, The Complete Lyrics of Johnny Mercer. Now, Barry, I'm going to ask you to do a little compare and contrast for me, okay? In my mind, looking back on the golden era of songwriting, there are about five names that stand out. Larry Hart, that you've mentioned, Ira Gershwin, Cole Porter, my personal favorite, Irving Berlin, and Johnny Mercer. So a lot of these guys were clever, they were sophisticated, they were Manhattan urbanites. Mercer was different. He was that southerner, he was rustic, etc. How would you compare and contrast Mercer's style from the other lyricists in the golden age?
Well, can I quote you what he said about himself? He said in an unpublished autobiography, which is fascinating because it was never completed, but it tells you a lot about him. I was trying to be as witty as Larry Hart, as sophisticated as Cole Porter, as simple as Irving Berlin, and as poetic as Oscar Hammerstein. So those were his points of reference. And if you were sitting in the South looking at what these people were doing, they were your gods, they were your idols. You wanted to be in amongst them. And then he said, and the thing I've always quoted about him, he said, one day, in 50, 100 years' time, the words of Porter, Hart, Gershwin, Woodhouse, Coward, maybe a few of my own, will be published, recited, analyzed, codified. In fact, they have been. What we have tried to do with this book is to codify them.
Absolutely, and I think you've done a brilliant job with it as well. Now, another thing I found interesting about your book, besides its great volume and the depth of research, your book has also some lyrics that were published posthumously. How did you gain access to this previously unpublished material?
Well, I mean, one good thing about his estate is that everything that he left behind was kept, sent to Georgia State University, and obviously through the family and through Margaret Whiting, who runs the estate, we were given access to all that stuff. And you found some amazing things. You found not only alternative and additional lyrics, because when he wrote a song, he was very prolific. The things that we know about that have been published and sung again and again, there may well be, in many cases, three, four, five times as many lyrics, certainly when he wrote for movies. He also wrote lyrics for things that never happened. I mean, there are at least three major shows that he wrote that were never actually put on. A thing called Marco Polo, a thing called Mike, based on Mike Hammer, the detective. He just did it, put it aside, went on to the next thing. The volume of his work is absolutely incredible. And people like Michael Feinstein have been very, very helpful in a thing like this. Michael, as you know, is a great musicologist. So when you're writing something about, say, Two Marvelous Words, Michael can give you, because he's found the old demo recording of it all, an extra lyric or two. And we've managed to find a lot of that. There's a lot probably we never did find. And it will turn up later, maybe.
Yes. We're talking to Barry Hart, everybody, author of the book, The Complete Lyrics of Johnny Mercer. Barry, it's interesting that you should bring up Michael Feinstein. He's got a special running on PBS on Wednesdays. Yeah. Started last night, and it'll go for two more Wednesdays as well. So if you are interested in this topic, there's another source that you can find on PBS. Now, I wanted to ask you, you mentioned the multiple lyrics, which is kind of neat. I wanted to ask you, though, more often than not, his lyrics were subversive. There were some radical underpinnings to it. He was counterculture. Did you find that to be true in your research?
Yes, indeed. I mean, he looked at everything with a very intelligent and questioning eye, I would say. He was a curious man in the sense that he was curious to know about things. And when he took the subject of Hollywood, cause, I mean, there's this man comes up from Savannah, goes to New York, and he had another, I think, fascinating quote. He said, I tried to be a cartoonist and failed. I tried to be an actor and failed. I tried to be a singer and failed. So I just naturally drifted into songwriting. Well, I mean, that's said tongue-in-cheek because he wasn't unsuccessful as a singer. He's the only composer, lyricist, who actually sang his own material. He sang with Paul Whiteman's orchestra. He sang with Benny Goodman. A lot of the number one hits he had, he sang himself, his own and other people's. So, I mean, here's a man coming up from the South, looking at New York as the Mecca, and then when he's in New York, he's looking at Hollywood and going over there. But when he got to Hollywood, he said, I felt you've got to just take it in context. I mean, it's got some wonderful things, but it's a bit of a sham and a bit of a show. So he wrote Hooray for Hollywood. If you remember the lyric, and you're terrific if you're even good. So why don't you try your luck? You might be Donald Duck.
Yeah, exactly.
Hooray for Hollywood. So that is done tongue-in-cheek, and I think a lot of the things he did, he was well aware of the downside of it, but on the other hand, the upside, the glamorous side of it, why not? We all enjoy it. We go to the movies, we love the movie. We don't take it too seriously, but we had a good time.
Exactly. We're talking to Barry Day, everybody. He's written the book, The Complete Lyrics of Johnny Mercer. Barry, I'm going to put you on the spot right now, and I'm going to ask you for your top five Johnny Mercer songs.
Well, I think I would say I Remember You.
Mm-hmm.
I think I would say Laura.
Laura.
I think I would, which he put the lyrics to that after the movie. If
right.
you see the movie and you think you know the song, it isn't in the movie. But the David Rexton song, the melody was so popular, they came to him and said, please put some words to it, which he did, of course, and that's what we know. I'd say Skylark. I'd say Too Marvelous for Words, which if you think about it is very ironic. Here's a man who had all the words, and one of his biggest hits was a song about a man who didn't have the words, which is kind of ironic. And I think I would say My Shining Hour is a very moving Harold Arlen song. So I could go on, but I mean, those...
No, those are beautiful. Those are
lovely.
That is great. And all of those are classic songs as well. Somebody in my generation might also mention Moon River, Days of Wines and Roses, The Summer Wind, which is making a comeback now, thank goodness for commercials, because they're picking that up, the Frank Sinatra version of that as well. Well,
the irony about it was, of course, that towards the end of Mercer's career, rock and roll was coming in. His kind of songs were getting to be less and less the things that people listened to. And towards the end of his life, he would bemoan the fact that all he was asked to do was not write a complete score anymore, but write the title song for a movie. And yet, ironically, Moon River, and you mentioned Days of Wine and Roses, are two of the Oscars, two of the four Oscars he won, and they were simply the title songs of films. But don't we remember them, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. They're burned, etched into our memories, no question about it. Barry Day, if I asked you, what would be the thing that you got out of writing this book?
You get inside the mind of somebody who you would like to be like. You know, if I could do what he did, and could leave that behind, I think I could go with a smile, you know? And I think he probably did. You know, he knew he'd done well, and it would last. I think to put your mark on the sands of time, as people like that do, and as Irving Berlin and others have done, that's got to be something to be pleased about, I think.
Well, I should think so. We're talking to Barry Day, everybody, author of the book, The Complete Lyrics of Johnny Mercer. Barry, we've only got about a minute left. If people are interested in finding out more about this book, where would you direct them to go?
Well, it's published by Alfred Knopf, K-N-O-P-F. Get it on Amazon.com. And it's a good gift book for Christmas.
I would agree with that. If anybody in your family is interested in music, if you're interested in music, you want to have this book. It's a wonderful coffee table book, beautifully printed, available wherever books are sold, not only online at Amazon, but you can also find it at Bank of Books right here in Ventura as well. And just about 30 seconds left, Barry. What is your new project? What are you working on now?
I'm now working on Noel Coward again, and I'm putting together a book based upon Coward, his life in pictures with a few words. And I think we'll bring it out in a couple of years. And I've got Coward's complete verse coming out next year.
Oh, wonderful. Well, we'll look forward to that as well. We've been talking to Barry Day, everybody, author of the book, The Complete Lyrics of Johnny Mercer. Barry, thank you so much for being our guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We will talk to you down the road.
Okay, take care.
Take care.